Heavenly Father, we thank you that we tonight are able to stand in freedom and in liberty, Lord, to be able to come and to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But Father, we remember our brothers and sisters around the world and those where it is not so easy to come and to worship and to praise the Lord. For indeed that they are threatened or under persecution. Some find themselves behind bars, imprisoned, lied and gossiped. Some find injustice or even tortured, Father, for the faith. Lord, we pray and ask that you will not only give your angels charge over them, but that, Lord, their faith will fail not. And that, Lord, they will remain faithful and true to their confession and testimony and love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we bring them before you, Father, and that you have not forsaken them, but that you are there right in their hour of trial and test and temptation. And Lord, we thank you that you will provide that way of escape, as you always do, for the saints who love you. Lord, we praise you and we thank you for the move of the Holy Spirit throughout the world. We thank you, Father, that you have a remnant around the world who are looking to you, who desire to walk by faith and not by sight, who love your word and desire to keep it and obey it, Lord. Father, we thank you for this. We thank you, Lord, for your word that will go out tonight. And Lord, we thank you, it will not return void, but will go forth and accomplish that wherewith you send it to. We thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke of bondage and sin. We thank you for your word, Father, that opens our eyes and ears and hearts. That, Lord, we don't know unless you reveal, unless you show us, unless you speak into our lives, Lord. Otherwise, we are in blindness, in darkness, and dull of hearing. And so, Lord, we praise you. We thank you that Jesus is seated on the throne, high and lifted up. Father, we thank you that he is our great intercessor, whoever intercedes and prays on our behalf, Lord, ever presenting and bringing our case before you, Father. Lord, we thank you. We praise you, Lord. And tonight, Father, we desire that you will be glorified in Jesus' name. Well, tonight I want to speak on trials reveal true confession. Trials reveal true confession. If we want to know where we are in the faith, where we are with regard to God's word and the standard of God's word, if you really want to hear and be sensitive, then you will hear what comes out of your mouth. And if unbelief is there and it's in the heart, then the tongue will confess it sooner or later. And very often God, as we know, allows us to go through trial and test to expose and reveal what is there in the heart, in which we can repent and get cleansed by the blood and continue to walk with him in fellowship. And of course, we know in this assembly, we've studied much about the history of Israel, how that God tried and tested Israel for 40 years in the wilderness, and at the end of it, you see very clearly what their confession was. And their confession was unbelief, moaning and groaning, ever coming back, repenting, then sinning, coming back, repenting, sinning. That was their life for 40 years. And we're told in the scriptures, the reason being is because they didn't mix faith with that which they heard. And that is why when we sit under the anointed word of God, that God expects us to mix faith with that which we listen to. In other words, mixing faith means that we prepare our hearts. Our hearts are open to receive God's word, no matter how challenging it is, no matter what standard it is. We are open and we believe that God can and will work that in and through our lives. That is mixing faith with that which we hear. It is opening our hearts. It's the parable of the sower, as the seed goes into hearts that are open, soft, to receive the word of God. We may not have all the light and revelation, but what we do have, we desire with all our hearts to keep it, to live it, to confess it, and to glorify God. That is what I mean by mixing faith with that which we hear. And every time the Holy Spirit draws us into his presence, and he says, where two or three gather together, I am there in the midst of you, and he brings the anointed word to our ears and heart, God has done that. God has brought you to the meeting. God has got you to hear this word. So therefore, he will enable you, if you want it, for you to receive the seed, the manna of God's word, so that you can mix faith with that which you hear. It depends whether we want it or not. And the children of Israel at the end of 4 years proved very clearly they didn't really want God. They didn't want his word. They wanted God on their own conditions. And this is a problem amongst Christianity and amongst, sadly, many professing Christians, that they want to follow God and on their own terms and conditions. But the Bible, as we read it, makes it very, very clear that we follow God on his terms, his conditions, and he is most holy and sovereign. We take him not only as Savior, Jesus that is, but also as Lord. So a true confession of faith has to come from the revelation of God's word, which is illumined to man. We cannot really make a true confession if that anointing is not there in the word, the preaching, or if there is heresy, error, not a true faith confession can be given, because you'll be confessing, believing contrary to God's word. Sadly, we find that there is preaching today which is contrary to God's word. People today don't believe that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for believers. Well, it's contrary to the word of God. Or there are professing Christians that don't believe that divine healing is in the atonement. That is contrary to the word of God. Or that God wants to bless you, or that God gives us all the promises in his word, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. We again find that there are those that limit with unbelief what they think God can and will do today. Again, you can't mix faith with some of those things that you hear when it's contrary to the divine will and revelation of God's word. As God reveals his word to us, he requires of us to be open so that we can be illumined by that revelation, in which to begin to understand in our hearts what God is truly saying. Otherwise, if we reject or our hearts are hardened against the word of God, actually people's minds and hearts are blinded to the word of God. They think they know it, but in actual fact they don't. And many times we can actually see in situations where it says, Jesus said, they're like blind leaders of the blind. Tragic. Never really going anywhere, just aimlessly going round and round and round in circles. And this is why you have a lot of believers today that are going from one ministry to another, from one church to another, listening to this teacher, that preacher, and so on. So few are really settled in Christendom, and they are subject and open to deception and so on. So it takes God at the end of the day to reveal his word to us, and it's whether we want our minds and hearts to be illumined by this pure holy word, because by that we mix faith with that which we hear. I want us now to turn, if we will, to some chapter and verse we know very, very well in this church, which is in Hebrews 11 verse 6, because there are several things in this that I believe that God has highlighted that I want to share with you in Hebrews 11 verse 6, which says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now tonight we are speaking in the context of trial reveals true confession. So that is what we're basing this on tonight, what comes out of our mouth when we are really tested. Now, what I've just read there in Hebrews 11:6, this speaks of how we approach God. Now, I'm already saying, I talked about faith. We need to have mixed faith with that which we hear. But it's very, very important how we approach God in light of His word that is going to be ministered. And that is why you can't just jump on the bandwagon. You can't just switch on God or switch on His word. It doesn't work like that. God has set principles as to how we approach Him, how we enter into His presence. Because we're entering into the presence of a very sovereign, holy, and awesome God. And it is fearful. And so, because our lives, our destiny, our future is dependent upon how we approach Him in order to receive His word, we've got to do it His way. And that's what sorts out the men from the boys who have decided to become not only believers, Christians, but disciples of Christ. And if we turn to Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 to 9, Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 to 9, I want to read this here in the light of how Israel never entered into that rest, in other words, into the promised land. And it says here in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 to 9, therefore, since the promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So there we are, as what I've been saying at the beginning. It never profited them because they didn't mix faith with that which they heard. In other words, they weren't really hearing. And the reason they weren't hearing, because their confession was wrong. Unbelief was being exposed. And they wouldn't let God, in His mercy and grace, deal with that unbelief. And that principle is still the same under New Covenant, how God deals with us through the work of the Holy Spirit. And it goes on in verse 3, for we who have believed do enter that rest. As He said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For He has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all His works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again He designates a certain day, saying, in David, today after such a long time, as it has been said, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Quite a lot in there. And I know I've preached many times on this, but there are just several things that I believe God is highlighting. Now, again, we need to just understand this in its context, that Israel never entered the promised land. It means simply the land of rest, the land of provision, the land of plenty. Why? Because of unbelief, and their unbelief resulted in disobedience, rebellion. And it's still a warning to us, to the churches today. It is no different. For example, let's look back in verse 2 of Hebrews 4. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. So the same principle, that same gospel, faith had to be mixed. We have to mix faith with that which we hear today. You see, the gospel is entering this rest by faith. How do we enter this rest by faith? It comes by hearing the word of God. It comes by opening our hearts to the word of God and allowing the word to circumcise, allowing the word to deal and change with the heart. And as a result of that, under trial and test, we're going to see then whether we're doing our homework, whether we really are opening our hearts and mixing faith with that which we hear. And we'll know that by our trials, tests, temptations. How do you know it? Because you'll hear what comes out of your mouth. You'll hear whether you're believing in that test and trial, your belief is lining up with the word of God. In other words, I'm going through a horrendous trial, but God is faithful. He hasn't forsaken me. He is with me. He will lead me through, and he will bring me out of it the other end. In other words, he will perfect that which concerneth me. That is what you hear in trial and test. Or maybe sometimes something comes out, but as soon as it comes out of our mouth, we say to the Lord, Lord, that is wrong. I repent of that. That is not right. That doesn't line up with your word. So we need to be ultra sensitive to our confession. And that obviously is in the time of trial. So the gospel is our entering this rest by faith. And it's still offered to the faithful. Verse 7. Says here, again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. What is today? Well, it means exactly what it means. It means the hour, the season, today, tonight, this moment. That's what it means. Whether it was in the time of David, King David, time of Moses, Joshua, Caleb, all the patriarchs, whatever it will be, that principle through the work of the Holy Spirit is still the same. And hardening of heart will prevent one from entering this rest, which works by faith. And confession, as I've said, will reveal it. In actual fact, I'll take it even a step further, that your confession, if it doesn't line up with the word of God, is actually revealing there are still areas where in your heart they are still hard and God is having to break. And that's what he does. And many times our trials, temptations, are to break those hard areas that are still to be found in the heart. For we're told in the scriptures, Proverbs, for out of the issues of the heart, or the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So it is in the heart. It's in the attitude. You see, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. This is why our minds have to be renewed. This is why it tells us that we're to bring down those thoughts. We're to bring down those suggestions. We're to bring down those things that Satan is trying to enter and work in our mind and thinking. We're to bring it down into the obedience of Christ. What does that mean? It means you confess it. It means you talk it out. It means you bring it before the Lord. You tell him, Father, I'm having a battle in my mind. I'm thinking these wrong thoughts. I'm thinking resentment, anger, hate, or whatever it would be. Father, I bring this before you at the foot of the cross for the blood of the Lamb to deal with this. That is what Jesus meant by bringing down. It means to confess, to bring it to God, in which he will deal with it. And he will in that time. Because that is where your deliverance is. That is where he's working it. And I don't know of any true saint who means business with God where you have not had a battle or are having a battle in the mind. And Satan knows it, and he will amplify it, he will work on it. And so as we keep before God, as we confess it as sin, so then by the grace and mercy of God we're able to cast it down, bring it down. And Satan then after a season will flee because he realizes he cannot plant that seed. You're not going to listen any longer. That's our deliverance. That is mixing faith with what you're hearing. That's the work that he's doing. But you see, God isn't going to force us on that. we have to come before God and will that he deals with our mind, our attitude, our thinking. Because if he doesn't, if we don't do this, then in trial, confession is going to tell us where we are. Confession in trial is going to tell you, you don't like that person. And it's going to come out in anger or when something happens. And we've all, most of us, fallen victim to that. And this, of course, was the children of Israel's problem. They were failing to deal with their confession. They were failing to deal with their griping, their moaning before God. They had no godly fear, in other words. God had given them promises. God had given the greatest leader under the Old Testament, Moses. They saw the wonders, the miracles of God, more than any other nation on the earth. And yet, they didn't enter into the promised land. So the hardening of heart is going to prevent one from entering into this rest. And this rest works by faith, by confession, by hearing the Word of God, reading the Word of God. This is what's going to reveal it. Now, going back to Hebrews 11 and verse 6, Hebrews 11 verse 6, he says in this, but without faith it is impossible to please him, which I have just been saying. But it then goes on to say, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So our faith, if you are in faith, if you're believing, it's then encouraging us to draw near. To draw near to him. Now, where there is unbelief and there is a wrong confession, it says, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So if there's wrong confession, there's unbelief, God says, come before me. I am a rewarder. I'm going to give. I'm going to answer your prayer, your need. I've heard your prayer. I've heard your request. I've seen your humility. I've seen that bowing of the knee. So he encourages us to come before him. And he says, you can come because I'm a rewarder. I give. That's the nature of our Father. And we can get some of this again, for example, in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Hebrews chapter 7 verse 25, it says, therefore he is also able to save us to the uttermost, those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. So there reveals his priestly ministry as intercessor. And he says he's able to save to the utmost to those who come to God through him. So there is the condition. We have to come to God through Jesus Christ. Who has to come? We have to come. We have to make that actual move, that conscious effort. And God says, I who am diligent, I will reward you. He always lives to make intercessions for us, and praise God that he does. Let's look also in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. Hebrews 10 and verse 22, it says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. There is how God works this. This is all about this drawing near. What it means, it actually means to come on in. That's how it reads. It's drawing near. Come on in. I provided. You're welcome. Enter in. That's what it means. This house is open, welcome for all who wish, desire to enter in. That's God's house. And that should be the house of a believer. So what does he say? Let us draw near with a true heart. So there's the condition. Let us come with a true heart, not double-minded, not deceiving or deceiving ourselves or deception, but a heart that is open, confessing, being absolutely open, honest with God. And he says, in full assurance of faith. So that is what faith will do. That believing in God, believing in his word, his promises, works that full assurance. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So there he provides to wash us down. That's what he's doing by this drawing near. What it's actually meaning here, that we are spiritually, we're called high priests, we're called saints of God. So we are washing just like the high priest before entering into the most holy place. He had to wash himself. The garments, vestures had to be clean. He had to wash himself before he could enter into the Holy of Holies. And that is what we have to do spiritually. And God has provided for us by the fact that we can draw near. We do it by our hearts being right and open. That is why I often confess and I pray when we come together in our meetings, that we come with clean hands and a pure heart into the presence of Almighty God. Otherwise, we're not entering into his presence, and therefore we're not those high priests who are washing ourselves down, preparing ourselves to enter into the presence of the Holies of Holies. And of course, those that want to read that, you can read that in Leviticus 16, where it speaks about the high priest and the requirements that were laid down in order for him to go before the presence of God. And it said, we come in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So that pure water is the washing of the Word of God. So the Word of God washes us down, just like the high priest washing himself down, ready to go into the presence of Almighty God. And haven't you found, I have, that when this anointed word is preached and your name and address is on it, which is almost every week, you find that it's not only washing you down, but you find that after you've taken it in, you've confessed or you've prayed about it, there's that entering into his presence. There's nothing stopping you, nothing hindering you. You know that assurance. You know he's saying, oh, you're welcome, come in, because you've done it the right way. And that is where you touch God, and that is where your faith is quickened, and that is where God will answer your prayers. And that's why God is teaching us that when we pray the prayer of faith, we have to be entering, we have to be entered into his presence. We have to be there. We have to touch him with our faith and know that when we've asked according to his will, he hears us. Some people just think, oh, by reading the word of God, just confessing it, that's my faith, I've got it in Jesus' name. It's a bit more than just that. It's also your standing before God as well, as a high priest that I'm just giving here. It's how you take of the word of God, whether you take of it openly or in your heart you're rejecting it or you're resenting it or you find it offensive. Again, we may be able to hide from man, but you can't hide from God. And these wrong attitudes will hinder us from our relationship with God and are really entering into his presence. And that's why there's such a lack of anointing and boldness that is to be found sometimes in churches. They talk of this power, this anointing, but in actual reality, it isn't really there. It's a lot of hot air and froth and bubble. And this is why we've got so much entertainment today. And this emphasis today that's so much on worship, it is a substitute for the Word of God. And very often you can find that this huge emphasis on worship, where they're worshipping for hours and hours, there's actually very little anointing and real teaching where the Word of God is concerned. Because it's actually the Word of God that cleanses and washes. Worship is not enough. If the word of God is there, it's cleansing and washing as it should, then that true worship comes as a result, because true worship is sacrifice. So the enemy is very subtle, isn't it, how he tries to work these days. So our faith and our confession, in looking at this further, is based on how we approach him. Now, if we approach him correctly, back in Hebrews 11, verse 6, he then says he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Again, we like just to quote the first bit, without faith it's impossible to please God. But we don't often always quote the rest that goes in the context of that, because it's based on how we approach him with regard to him rewarding us. You see, those who seek him, you will hear the true confession. Those who seek him will not only confess, and their confession will line up with the word of God, but they are diligent in dealing with it. In other words, if unbelief is exposed, and God does expose it because he loves us, if we see this and God opens our eyes to it, then we are diligent with regard to this. Why are we diligent? Because we have learnt that God is diligent, and as a result of it, he's a rewarder and will reward that diligence. In other words, you are not leaving it, procrastinating. Sin has been exposed. Unbelief has been exposed. There's something within you. Can't rest till you've had it out with God. Till you've gone to one side, you've talked to your Heavenly Father, and you've brought this out and exposed it into the light, so the blood of the Lamb can deal with this unbelief and sin. Wish to God more Christians would be diligent in this area. And the reason that a lot of them are not diligent, because they don't have a prayer life. Their only prayer life they have is probably when they go to church, or a quick prayer before they close their eyes, before they go to sleep. But to be diligent before God, to know that he is that rewarder, a saint has to walk not only in relationship with God, but also in communication and also in prayer, because very often it takes prayer to deal with sin and unbelief. It takes a waiting on God as he exposes, as he deals, as he begins to heal us deep in the inner man, you see. But those who seek him will hear that true confession, because they're diligent. We're also shown, right at the end, those that pay that price to be diligent. It says in the book of Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, Revelation 22 and verse 12, he says, "And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work." So we find that then he's coming to reward. Faith rewards. So faith must bring forth fruit. It has to bring forth works. And that comes as a result of being diligent. It comes as a result of taking heed to those areas of unbelief where you are not confessing, or your confession is not lining up with the word of God. Now, of course, your confession will only line up to the light that you have. You're not going to be able to confess what you don't really know. In actual fact, I'll take it a step farther, you're not going to be able to confess until really the word of God has taken hold of you, is beginning to work in you. Sometimes we've seen something, or something's come up in the preaching, and you think, yes, that's a wonderful promise. Right, I'm going to confess that. But it's not always quite as simple as that. Yes, you've seen it. Yes, your eyes have been opened to it. Yes, you've been encouraged. that you may need to just wait. Wait on God. Begin to take what you are learning. Take what is being revealed to you. Take where your eyes are being opened. And sometimes take it before God in prayer and begin to talk to Him. Allow the Holy Spirit to begin to illumine your mind and your heart. Jesus did this. We're shown many times in His ministry that He said that I don't know anything unless the Father shows me. Now, Jesus was revealing where His faith comes from. He was revealing that His faith comes by revelation, by the Father revealing. And this revealing comes as we wait upon God. Revelation very often is an ongoing work. It's not just a revelation, it can be, but the whole Word of God that is being revealed to us stage by stage, because that's how it works in a process. There's no way we can reveal it all in one go. It's humanly impossible. But it's an ongoing process. So as we gain more light, as we see more, as God is revealing more to us, so our faith is quickened. So we're able to confess that which has been revealed to us. And Jesus did exactly the same. If the Father revealed that He was going to heal and deliver that person, then Jesus' confession was and belief was over that person to be healed, to be delivered, or over His teaching. The Beatitudes, when He taught that, well, that had to be revealed to Him. Jesus believed also that the anointing was upon Him, and that anointed would teach through Him, which it did. Jesus also had revealed to Him that He was to go to the cross. So there, revelation shows that we're also to be obedient to that what is revealed to us, and not to resist it or argue with it. So Jesus was totally yielded, which we are to be yielded. That's why, of course, we preach the cross, that we too as believers are to take up that cross daily and follow Christ and to walk in His likeness and His way. So, you know, it is an overall work that God is doing. But, you know, as I bring this now to its conclusion, trial is going to reveal where your confession is. And it is so important when you hear yourself saying contrary to God's will, whatever formal way, we must take it seriously. We must deal with it. And if we have argued with somebody and been negative with someone, then as soon as you leave that person, whatever it will be, get before God and confess. Get it right. Tell your Heavenly Father, Lord, that was wrong what I said. That didn't glorify Your name. That was negative, contrary to Your will, Your purpose. And sometimes, of course, we've got to learn the Holy Spirit may just want us to keep our mouths shut and not say anything. And that again is wisdom. We're told that with wisdom you must apply knowledge and understanding. So the Holy Spirit is a sovereign work. He has come to take over our lives in every facet, in every form, in every way. The Holy Spirit is bringing all of us to the end of ourselves in areas that we can do nothing without Him, unless He anoints, strengthens, reveals. Why? Because it takes the Holy Spirit to tame man's tongue. For it's a deadly thing. It's like a viper. It will bite. It's full of venom and poison. And it can only take the sovereign power and work of the Holy Spirit to deal with man's tongue. Because left alone, man in his pride and ignorance will continue to confess contrary to the Word of God. And that's why we've got a liberal gospel today. That is why we've got many who try to change the Word of God. And of course, the big thing that is used today, well, that is your interpretation. In liberal theology, they say there are many interpretations, as there are many ways that lead to the one true God. Well, I'm afraid it's not. It is a confession that has to line up with God's word. And that is how faith comes. It comes by hearing, reading, assimilating, taking in the word of God. And you will have a faith, but it's a faith of another Christ, another gospel. That is the point. And that is why we're to test the spirit. We're to test what comes out of the mouth of a person. We're to test what spirit is behind what they're saying or what they're preaching or what they're prophesying. And sadly, churches at times do not test these spirits. But we are to. Why? Because it's about confession. And you see, they're demons and they want to take root. They're like seeds that Satan wants to sow those tares. And so we have to be on our guard. We have to be diligent. We have to know the word of God, because it's all about confession. It's all about what we're saying, what we believe. If you don't believe it, then you can't confess it. But if you start to believe it, mixing faith with it, then you're going to confess it. Whatever the symptoms, whatever the signs, whatever Satan is suggesting, whatever, you're going to confess God's promise. And that is, of course, why Hebrews is all about faith. Hebrews reveals that it's a better covenant, better promises. Everything's better now through Jesus Christ. So we've got recorded there in Hebrews 11, those great patriarchs, those great saints who walked by faith, seeing it afar off. They were learning to line their confession with God's word. And let's face it, they only had half a revelation, in a sense, under Old Covenant. Now under the New Covenant, we have the full revelation of God's word, 66 books, which we hold. Well, how much more? Because we're now under a better covenant, better promises, better priesthood. We're living tabernacles filled with the presence of God. So God is very particular how we enter into his presence. And that entering into his presence, whether on your own or whether as a church or a group or a prayer meeting, is vital if you're to be heard and you're to experience that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Because if you diligently seek him, he's the word back to you is, come on, enter in. The scepter is out to you. Come in. You're welcome. And it's that coming in, it's that scepter that is handed out to us, that gives us our authority, our stand in Christ Jesus. That is where the power of the church lies and stands and always has. When Peter had the revelation of who Christ was, Christ, as we know the story, said, Peter, upon that confession, because you have lined up with the word of God, I will build on that confession my church, my called out people, set apart unto me. So there's the authority. What Jesus said, enter in. Come on, stand on it. It's not only I am that foundation, and you can now stand upon it as well. And that was Peter's authority as an apostle. And it is the same principle in operation that is for everyone, whether in this place or who's hearing this sermon tonight, to those who believe and mix faith with that which they hear. And that is why when you pray according to God's will, his word, you have that confidence that he has heard you. And that is very important to the quickening of faith, and very important to our confession and what we say. So your trials, praise the Lord, for what you're going through is revealing areas of unbelief, so that you can bring this before God, and the reward is he will cleanse and wash it away with the blood of the Lamb as far as the east is to the west. I don't know about you, but that is good news. Hallelujah. Father, tonight we are so blessed again. We are so blessed by your word. Every time, Lord, we come together, you shower us with that manna from on high. What a privileged people, Lord, that we are. And Father, our heart's desire is that we do not let you down, that Father, we would remain faithful to what we hear, and that we mix faith with that which we hear, and that we will be diligent and not procrastinating. Father, we thank you that you have a remnant around the world who love you and who love your word and desire to be faithful and obedient and to endure to the end. Lord, that is of great source and comfort. And Father, we pray for those, Lord, who are struggling, those who find the walk difficult, or those that maybe are beginning to backslide. Lord, we ask that you would give your angels charge. You would draw them again. You would quicken them, Father. You would revive them. You would help them, Lord. And Father, it is a privilege to be able to pray for the weak, for those that are going through trial and test, to stand with brothers and sisters, Lord, which we're to do as the body of Christ. Lord, we thank you, Father, that you've been with us tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you'll be with us, bless us, preserve us, and ever keep us, and ever guide us and direct us. For this we ask in Jesus' name.